Time now to look through the window of baseball. We do it for Trude & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, nice to see you last night.
Yeah, very mutual, Marty. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the ball is flying out of the park. And, you know, Machado, three homers. Mike Moustakas is ready to erase Steve Balboni from the Kansas City Royals record book.
Balboni's going bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. That's he is, a former Yankee. Bye-bye Balboni, who's a scout of the Giants now. But he's got 36. Moustakas has got 35. And the most he ever had was 22. So Pat says to me, well, do you like the home runs? I say, well, when the ball is thrown to the batter, you don't sit there and say, boy, I hope he hits a ground ball to short.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's nothing really annoying about a home run. I mean, you see a few that are pretty ridiculous. I mean, there's some things that, you know, happen at Fenway. We've been dealing with that for since the beginning of time, and all over the bandboxes here and there. But, you know, home run's a home run. It's exciting. I will say Henry Shulman had a great tweet today about 58 home runs being hit yesterday. He said, that's not baseball, it's batting practice. Return the baseballs to normal. And yeah. I think there's something to the juice ball theory.
Hey, in fact, Bruce, I was just rapping with Marty and Joey Gallo of the Rangers. He has 35 home runs on the year and 20 singles. I mean, how about that, huh?
And I love every single. I love every ball that's put in play just to, you know. See there? It's not just a walk, a strikeout, or a homer.
Yeah.
Boy, well, Matt Moore had a good game last night. Bruce, what was your take on him?
Well, I mean, he's always a little bit measured. I mean, he's just so erratic. I mean, he definitely he looked like Matt Moore. He looked like the guy they traded for, and that was an expensive trade for them in terms of talent. But, you know, he's had so many bad outings, you just wonder what's coming. But, you know, they really would love to have him in the rotation, have two lefties, maybe three, with Bumgarner, Block, and more to go in there with Cueto and whoever else, Samardzija. I mean, they're shaping up to have a good rotation if everybody pitches to their baseball card. And, you know, it was encouraging for sure.
Well, Pence is showing signs of life. Got a home run last night. And, look, he may work himself back into – maybe be this anyway, but he may work himself back into being the right fielder.
Yeah, the thing about Pence, it's been really frustrating to watch him hit. He goes for so many pitches that are low and away, and, you know, he doesn't get his lower body into any of them. He beats out a lot of them for hits, and occasionally the ball will just get a little bit up, and he'll sting it. But overall, it's been frustrating to watch him. And at the same time, though, he's Hunter Pence. I mean, he's such a beloved character. He's done so much for the team. It's very feasible that he bounces back, and I certainly wouldn't be upset to see him out in right field, assuming he's just a little bit more patient at the plate and not so wild about going for that low and away pitch without any real strength behind it.
The other one's Jared Parker, and I don't know how he's going to fit into this, but for a guy who can hit, as they always say, they'll find a place for him in the lineup. Bruce, this guy can go 1-for-17 and then turn around the next week and go 9-for-14. But he has the ability to knock the ball off the wall or over the wall, and look, the Giants are desperate for that.
Yeah, and he's a young guy, and he hasn't really had, you know, a sustained run playing every day due to injuries. And, you know, the power really, really wakes you up. I mean, Mac Williamson's got maybe even greater power, but he's even more inconsistent. I think Parker is right now the leader right there. And he hits mind-blowing homers. He hits a couple in Oakland last year that were amazing, and his power is really something to behold. So, you know, he's a young guy, and we'll see what happens and how he looks in spring training and take it from there.
Pat brought this up before about Stanton and this possibility of hitting 62.
Yep.
And is that going to be the record or whatever? I don't know if you've weighed in on that one lately, yeah. But what do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, in 1961, that was a really hot argument as to whether Roger Maris's 61 in 162 games, was really the record when Ruth did it in 154. It seems like such an innocent argument now, when now we're talking about, you know, the steroid era and what does it matter or not. I mean, I think for younger fans, people are going to go, what do you mean 62 is the record? You know, it won't resonate with them whatsoever. I mean, you know, I've always accepted Bonds' record as what it is, because he did it. I mean, there's all kinds of arguments about what went into it, but I just felt so highly about him as a ball player. It's a hell of an achievement, no matter how you look at it.
I think for Stanton, I'd just like to see him do it because he's 44 now, and what has he got, maybe 39 games to go, so he needs like, 18 and 39 games. I'd like to see that happen, you know, and get pitched to, and they're out of the race, and challenge him and see what he can do. I think that would be the fun of it, not necessarily to say, well, he's now the home run king. If he can get 62, Bruce, out of this with a second half of hitting like 45 home runs or something, that's pretty good.
Well, I'd be happy with 60. I mean, that's kind of the magic number.
Really?
You know, and I've always thought Sammy Sosa is absurdly overlooked because he did it three times, and I don't care what he was doing. I mean, you know, that steroids are pretty prevalent, but he was a guy who hit over 60 three times, and now he's like completely scorned. The Cubs have written him off. His face is he seems to be painting his face white or pink, and he's a recluse and all this stuff. But that's another, you know, anybody that hits 60 homers three times, that's it's a shame that he's become such a scorned figure.
And never mind the lack of elite prospects in the Giants farm system or the budget restraints, but now after taking a shot at Barry Bonds, there's no way that Brian Sabian and Bobby Evans can go get Stanton now, right, Bruce?
Well, they're going to try. I mean, I don't know if it's going to work, but they're going to put in a bid. Hell yeah. He would change everything around here.
What would you put, like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most likely that it gets done, where would you put that at? I'd say at about 2. What about you, Bruce?
For the Giants?
Yeah, for the Giants.
I'd say probably right around 0. I mean, when you think about the Cubs and the Dodgers and some of these powerhouse teams coming at them with major league players with way higher value than any of the Giants guys and probably better prospects, I think that's the way it's going to go. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out entirely. I'm sure that Sabian and Evans are going to be as engaged as they possibly can. I just think in the end they don't have enough.
Well, I agree with you. More you know, it seems like there's more stuff off the field than on the field lately in baseball, and there's some real, the playoffs are going to be fantastic this year, even though the Giants aren't in it. A lot of good stories. Bellinger turned an ankle today. The Dodgers picked up Granderson. He's already doing promos on the internet about how happy he is and goodbye New York and all that. But the umpires are now wearing white wristbands because they're tired of getting pushed around in the press by everybody, and they want to show that they have some solidarity. What about that?
Yeah, I guess the Kinsler comments put him over the top, talking about Angel Hernandez should go find another job, and you know, Zobrist. Chris Bryant, Joe Maddon, the Cubs seem to be well in the camp of going to a computerized strike zone. And, the Ups are taking a beating, and I do feel bad for them. They're not trying to annoy people. The fact that they all have different strike zones and hitters don't know what they're going to get necessarily. And, Jed Lowry's a real mild-mannered guy for the A's and a hell of a hitter. He struck out three times in New York earlier this season and got so riled he got tossed out for the first time in his life. He just, I didn't see a strike yet in those three strikeouts, and he just was fed up. So there's a growing sort of a groundswell among hitters, I think, to go digital, but we're a long way from that. And I do feel for the umpires, they make a statement, good for them.
Well, you and I had an interesting discussion last night. I don't know if it was a scientific method or not. But in your short survey of people, hitters seem to want an automated strike zone. Pitchers don't want it, and they're vehement that they don't want an automatic strike zone. We made a minor conclusion last night.
Yeah, I talked to Jeff Samardzija, recalling a game in Colorado where he felt he got ripped off a couple of times. You could tell he was steaming out there, and I figured maybe he would be one of these players who would like to go digital, but he's completely opposite, and he and Bumgarner both would like it to be like 1950 with no technological innovation whatsoever. Just play ball, just like kids on the playground.
Well,
but that's two guys. I mean,
the hitters were just the opposite, weren't they?
Yeah. The hitters were. Buster Posey was pretty much against it. I think for mostly because of the catcher's angle, because the art of catching takes a big hit when you go digital. But he seemed to think, I'm just going to ride with it. I'm not demanding any big change. You figure out what the ump strike zone, and you take it from there.
Yeah, that's sort of the way baseball's been played for 140 years, and it seems difficult to change it. The Red Sox, all of a sudden, Howard Bryant was on with us earlier today, Bruce. Now John Henry says we want to get rid of the Yawkey Way sign. And it's well known, Yawkey's political leanings, his social leanings over the years, and how he came to be the owner of the Red Sox, getting it from his uncle, who was a Yawkey, and he was adopted by his uncle and said, look, you can't get any money until you're 30. And that happened to be 1933, and that's when he got the Red Sox. He got a plantation in South Carolina, and he never hired a black employee or did anything, and now they want to get rid of the Yawkey Way sign.
1933, he was doing pretty well for the Depression.
Yeah.
$40 million. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like all of a sudden the Red Sox are alarmed about Yawkey Way. It's perfect. I mean, they were 11 years too late, or 11 or 12 years too late on integrating with Pumpsy Green, you know, way after Jackie Robinson. I mean, that's been the team's reputation, that there's a racist element there. It's been there for decades. And, you know, the Yawkey Way, it's sort of like, it's a little bit like the Washington Redskins. I mean, you've been saying it for so many years. If you think about what it means, you start thinking, well, maybe we should change that. But then you turn around the next day and you say, did you see the Redskins against the Rams? Or, and now in Boston, it's like, the Yawkey Way is one of the great streets in all of sports. You know, it's right next to Fenway. It's got great souvenir stands and hot dogs, you know, and some steamed pretzels and everything. And it's Yawkey Way. I mean, it's an institution, but the times we're in, it's probably going to get changed.
Yep,
and maybe that's the right thing.
Yeah, it probably is, in a way. It probably is the time to do it. It makes a statement, and it's a statement that should be made. And
yeah.
Certainly for that organization as well. They didn't have a free agent, Howard told us, until Billy Hatcher, like 1992, was the first time they had an African American free agent.
Oh my God!
So that was Tom Yawkey, but still he gave away $500 million to philanthropic causes all over Boston, the Jimmy Fund, and all that kind of stuff. But he had that side of him, and in today's world, it can't be celebrated, and it shouldn't be understood. So I think before you know it, it'll be David Ortiz way.
Not bad. I was going to call it Splinter Boulevard after the Splendid Splinter.
Oh, you could. Well, that's possible. Or
that way, it's not an exact name, but it says something.
How about Yaz Street?
Well, how about something to acknowledge Dave Roberts? Because Dave Roberts, his theft of that bag in October of what, 2004, changed the history of the franchise.
Yeah, it's a little obscure. I think the ghost of Ted Williams would be pretty riled, not to mention Johnny Pesky. But yeah, I mean that's. That was the moment. I mean, something had to happen to end that curse, and Dave Roberts Steele was the real catalyst. Amazing,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, when you look at great moments in Red Sox history, I mean, the Carlton Fisk home run is one you remember as well. And, of course, now, as Howard said, they've won, what, 3 World Series since breaking the curse of the Bambino. But I guess my point is this. Baseball mirrors America. And everything you find in America, you find it on a baseball field. And John Henry, the owner, feels strongly about it. I think he'll get it done.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's hard to argue against that. But this conversation we're having is fascinating. What are you going to call it? That's going to be a story in itself because there's so much. I mean, this history of the Red Sox, my God, you know, back to Harry Hooper and you know, Babe Ruth started there. So you know, who knows?
Well, Billy Jurgis.
Yeah. Bobby Doerr.
Here we go. Billy Jurgis. You know, you could have Bertie Tebbets.
Sure. Throw in Walt Dropo.
Right. Bruce and I can start now. And the great Jackie Jensen. You can't forget. Jimmy Pearsall.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Right. Tony C. Way.
Okay. Yeah. Now, that's probably, he deserves something for getting hit in the head by Jack Hamilton that ended his career. One of the great, great young players of all time.
Absolutely.
All right, great to talk to you. How's your day today?
Going well. I've been working on a couple of college football pieces for the Chronicle section coming up and a Warriors piece. And meanwhile, there's a bunch of baseball I got on tape that I'm looking forward to watching tonight. So good day.
All right. Well, I hope when the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, I hope it's a ground ball to second.
Yeah, the first 8 guys are going to put the ball in play and it won't be a homer. It'll be great.
Right, that'll make me happy. All right. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys. Thanks a million.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Right,
that is the great Bruce Jenkins.
You guys doing these old names is one of my favorite bits.
It's what baseball's all about.
Bertie Ebbets. What was his name?
Bertie Tebbets.
Tell me about Bertie.
I will later. I won't do it on the air.